This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
And welcome into Saturday Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. A lot to get to, but first of all, happy, healthy New Year to everybody. Hope your last week was fantastic. The other night, you had some fun and everybody's recovered. Razor, I didn't get to spend New Year's Eve with you as I abandoned you. Yes. Headed down to Miami. How was your evening, my friend? Both game included, obviously.
Well, the game was great, so that was nice. Beyond that, it was just a regular Wednesday work night. Play game on the road. There was no celebrating. I didn't see anybody all day and went home to bed.
Sounds like a very nice,
yeah,
very calm.
There's something to be said for quiet.
What time did you get home? What time did you get out of the studio and home?
The 12th, it had to have been 1:30, 2 o'clock. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the toughest time to work a game because the 9:30 start Eastern time still means you have an hour post game.
Correct.
It's that tweener time. So my biggest apologies.
You didn't book the game. So
no, I didn't. But Bruins, hey, the Bruins, you know what? They looked good. They win that game over the Edmonton Oilers. And so the last time we sat down here for a Saturday Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor, the Bruins have had since then three games. The Buffalo loss coming out of break, the Calgary overtime loss, which was kind of not a good game really at all, and then a bummer of a result. And then the Edmonton game, I don't say I didn't see it coming, but I'm not sure I saw it coming. So the Bruins won 1-1 in those three games. They tie the goals for, goals against, 8-8. Power play 1-1 for 7. Penalty kill resounding 12-for-13 in that time. The problem is 13 is still way too many. And stop me if you've heard that before. A ton to get to here, Razor, on this Saturday Brew. So just want to start with where the Bruins found that game against the Edmonton Oilers. If folks didn't get a chance to watch it and listen to it, we understand, is on New Year's Eve. But the Bruins came in against the Edmonton Oilers, a team that they had played well against previously at TD Garden, except for Connor McDavid being Connor McDavid. Razor, it wasn't like McDavid wasn't himself again in this game. The difference being, though, that he just couldn't finish when it was all said and done the way he did in that previous game.
Yeah, and that goes a lot to Jeremy Swayman, and also to the Bruins D, and I use that as a whole in that they didn't let him get out in the open. He always had someone on his back when he was shooting or driving to the net. He had somebody there. Of course, he made the five guys on the ice look a little silly on the first goal that Edmonton scored. I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. It's I wish I got to watch that guy play every single night. You know, like I really should just DVR all of his games because it's you see the highlights, but the stuff he does when he doesn't score is just as incredible. But no, the Bruins just they scored first, which was a big one. That was important. And they looked confident. They did. They really did look confident. And I think what we talked about the last time they played Ottawa was that outside of McDavid and Draisaitl, the rest of the Bruins team's better. And I think the forward group played better than their forward group did beyond McDavid and Draisaitl.
Yeah. And that goal that you bring up where he video game slaloms through three different guys. It's just spectacular. It is. Again, it's breathtaking to watch. What I actually appreciated the most about that goal, besides how easy he made it look, was you see him at the end. Even he was impressed with himself at the end there. His telling, even he was like, whoa, you know, like, yes. And you don't often see a lot of emotion out of McDavid. And yet here we saw it. And I just, you know what? I thought it was cool. I do. I know he's got a stoic exterior at times, but that was cool. Even cooler is the fact that the Bruins ended up winning. And they get, you mentioned first goal. By the way, they scored first in all three games this past week. So I hope that that's a trend that continues because we know it hasn't been. But you mentioned scoring first. They also got two goals by defensemen. Yeah. And Aspero and Hampus Lindholm, who you've asked for it. We've talked about it. I know Barry's brought it up before on Ness and everything. It's just, I mean, not enough offensive support from the back end. And was it just a result? Again, you did the game. I just watched it. But did you think it was a result of what the Bruins did, defensemen did better? Now, I know Hampus's shot was from afar, and it tucked up over Ingram from a distance. But it just felt like they were supporting the play a little better from the outside looking and watching the game like I was.
They did that, and it seemed like they had a mandate to put pucks on net too. They did a good job going low to high, the Bruins did, but instead of the low to high and then the rim around or the low to high D to D, it was rim or low to high and everything was going to the net. We did it. It was, I know they had 12 shots as a group, and I want to say it was 10 that were missed or blocked on top of it. So 22 shot attempts from the back end against the Edmonton Oilers has to be a season high. Like that, we haven't seen numbers like that at all that I can remember. So it just seemed like they had a purpose and a mandate to get pucks to the net. And when you do that, one sneaks through and one finds a way and one creates offense. So I do think that there is purpose to that, and it needs to happen more. They need to simplify that way, and I think it also helps their defense too.
Yeah, no question. I mean, look, whenever you're getting especially bodies in front, like Arvidsson was in front, just enough for that Lindholm shot, it helps. I do think that the mandate probably came because Ingram playing goal, just the scouting report on him, you know, called up from the American League recently with the injury to Tristan Jarry. And so this is, I don't, you know, they've had issues with their goaltending already there again. So now challenge it. And that's what they did. And this isn't a team that we know. It's funny. They don't get shot volume, but yet for a while in this season, they were scoring a lot. Now that they've stopped scoring, we're like, get shot volume. It's easier said than done, though. But you have to have that mindset to get after it. Frazier Minton line combined for 2 goals, 4 assists. I know some of them came on the power play. Pasta with 2 goals in that game. Both Lindholms, the law firm of Hampus and Elias, had 1 goal, 1 assist in that game, too. But you bring up Jeremy Swayman, 34 of 36 in the game. Edmonton, via natural stat trick razor at 5-on-5, had 16-5 high danger chances for versus against. And overall, all situations, 22-7. I mean, first period alone, it was 12-2. So where does this game rank, do you think, for Sway? It's got to be top three for the season, where he was and his set and his presence and the need for it. This was a need. We need you to come through for us type of game.
Yeah, exactly. And especially in Edmonton, you're just always going to have to, if you're going to win in Edmonton, your goalie has to be awesome. And he was, and, you know, I think so the number 20, like they pushed hard at the end of that first period when the Bruins got up 2-0, that the floodgates open. And before they scored, they could have had 9 goals. That was a big moment there. So after that, it balances out a little bit, the second and third, but again, he was great. He was over top of the puck. I thought he held his ground, which again, with McDavid and Draisaitl, you can get a little conservative and again, just like a defenseman, you back up a little bit. I thought he held his gap. He held his feet, and more importantly than anything else, he had to stop the skid. That's what a starting goalie does. You have to stop the skid, and he did that, and that frees everybody else up now for the next couple of road games.
So, speaking of stopping the skid, and we'll get into Swayman and being named to the Team USA. It's important.
Big week for him.
Big week. But how did you feel about them after that, the Calgary game? Because it really wasn't a fun hockey game to watch from either squad. It wasn't a well-played game. I mean, we haven't had, at least like that again, in my short-term memory issues, that many this season. I mean, I know we've had some tough games, but I'm talking this was a bad hockey game. Like, it wasn't by both teams. You know, Edmonton, or Calgary had just played Edmonton in their previous game, and you could kind of see that they were having a hard time revving up again to play their East Coast rivals, the Boston Bruins, right? A few nights before New Year's Eve. And then the Bruins, you kind of could just see flying all the way from Buffalo out there. They just couldn't get it going either. It was not a pretty game. But it was, again, and we use the term an awful lot, winnable game, especially with that opportunity they had in overtime on the Zacha breakaway and then Zadorov finish or attempt that just couldn't connect. And then they give up the game there. I mean, so how did you feel about the team after Buff and after Calgary?
Well, so the Buff one, you know, that was just a long, tough day. Buffalo is 1-10 in a row. They're beating everybody. The Calgary one's interesting. I think because we watched, it was a slog. It was really ugly. And but then you hear Marco Sturm's comments after, and he was very positive. He was excited about how his team played defensively and the details, etc. And then, you know, and so I was thinking about it again on Wednesday before, you know, when the Bruins won and played against Edmonton. I think he saw something and felt something. And then you kind of watch what Calgary's doing. They beat Edmonton out of the break. Then they beat the Bruins in overtime. They beat Philly on New Year's Eve 5-1. Philly's in the playoffs. They're 8 games over 500, and Calgary absolutely waxes them out of the building at home. So I don't know if I gave them enough credit, Calgary. I thought, like, the way they're playing right now, especially on home ice, Marco said all those things. So he saw something more in Calgary than I did. I thought that was a game that they're much better. Whatever Calgary's doing right now, I think Sturmey saw it and the Bruins saw it, and that's why they were happier than what I thought they were going to be with a 2-1 loss in overtime.
They're going through their stretch of goodness out there. Of we our system, our structure, every kind of hockey term, our details, right? We're in sync. Their goaltending, you know, it's going through. They're going through that good stretch. That I think you look at what Nashville is doing. You bring up Buffalo. Everybody goes through it. The Bruins have done it. They both ways this season, right? Yeah. And it feels like that's what Calgary's doing. Fair point. I remember Marco's post game as well. Yes, he would have liked the extra point. We all would have liked the extra point given how that game went. But, you know, it was a game that I don't know. I just never felt like the game really never got going for either team in the Calgary one. It just wasn't pretty. The lack of execution on passing, the feel was just not there for the Bruins at all. Maybe not much better for Calgary, but regardless, at least I guess they got the point. All right, well, I mentioned Jeremy Swayman, Team USA. We got a couple of minutes left here to touch on it. He gets in. We knew McAvoy getting it, but Swayman gets that word the other day. And it's announced on Friday. He knew about it obviously before. Neither of us had a doubt that he would make it. You know, I didn't think there was anybody else. Now the question becomes, given what we haven't seen from Connor Hellebuck and the Winnipeg Jets, does it come down to Jake Oettinger and Jeremy Swayman right now? You still got time. You still basically have a month of hockey. But I can't, they can't just be thinking that Ottinger's or that Hellebuck's going to start. I don't even think that's a consideration right now. I think it's an absolute wide open canvas for the starting goaltender for Team USA.
I believe it is. And I also believe with Jeremy going in to the Worlds and winning the Worlds and having Team USA do that for the first time in a really long time, that he's got an inside track at worst on the second spot. And then the next goalie up. At worst, if not number one, wherever Hellebuck lands here in the next month. Again, Hellebuck being the MVP, that's hard to overlook, but it's not an automatic like it was in Four Nations, and I don't think Swayman's three on the depth chart like he was in Four Nations. I would expect he gets a game in Milano at some point, if not more.
Well, at the very least, at your point, he's dressing at least at some
correct. Time. Yeah, that's right. Four Nations, he didn't even get on the bench, right?
Right. At the very least, I think you think he's dressing. You know what? I know you have to respect the Connor Hellebuck MVP stuff, but that was then. What's now? And I know it's team sport, and I know he's been injured, but at times or was, but they need to really see a consistent run out of him, I think, for them to get that same confidence, that same automatic we're putting him in type of thing. Even though he's the MVP, I don't know. You look at the Dallas Stars, you look at what they've done, Ottinger's done, you know, Ottinger, and then you can make an argument Swayman should be highly considered for it. So some interesting choices made both to make the team and not to make the team. We'll get to that after the break, Razor, because I do think that it's worthy of a quick chat here on Saturday Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. Again, the Bruins with McAvoy and with Swayman have two representatives on Team USA, a team that should be pretty good. Are they going to be great? We'll have to wait and see. All right, coming up after the break, a lot of stuff, too, about the Boston Bruins. You're listening to Saturday Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor on EEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
And welcome back into Saturday Brew. Razor, let's get right to it. Again, we got a ton of stuff because I want to finish up on Team USA. Might as well keep that conversation going. But I also want to talk on where the Bruins are. They're at the 41 game mark, halfway point this year versus last year. Where are they at? And then want to bring up Jonathan Aspero. I mean, how do you not talk about the man, the myth, the rising legend that is Jonathan Aspero, and where he stands with this Bruins team and the things that he does for him. And then a couple of other guys I want to talk to about as well. But so Team USA, again, we knew Swayman or thought Swayman. We know McAvoy. No Adam Fox. No Adam Fox on that team. Did that surprise you?
Not as much as a couple of the other guys that didn't get on up front. I thought he struggled. He wasn't great at the Four Nations last year either. He didn't go to World Championships. He does the same as Quinn Hughes.
Right.
Basically. Like, if he's not a first power play guy, then can he contain Nate MacKinnon on a forecheck? Can he contain Tom Wilson on a forecheck? I think that was the mentality of Bill Guerin. He said it all along. He was going to take the bigger, stronger player. He wants to play heavy. He played on the heaviest Team USA team of all time, and he believes in that in 1996, and that's what he wanted. So it's a big name, but at this time right now with what Adam Fox is doing, it just doesn't line up for his team.
Yeah, and it's a big name because of his head coach. Is with the New York Rangers is Mike Sullivan. Yeah. And that can't that can't be comfortable or easy at all, those conversations. And I know Mike Sullivan talked about it when he was asked about it at the Winter Classic about, you know, specifically since we've had a bunch of conversations, gonna keep them between us, but that can't be an easy situation at all. It came down to wanting Seth Jones basically more as well than him. Bigger, longer, arguably, obviously a better skater. Now, I will give Adam Fox credit. He came into this season much better, I think, shape and also determined to play a more complete game. Mm-hmm. He was injured for a while, just coming back now, just been back a few days, few games. But overall, here's a guy that, you know, I think your point about kind of limited, not the right word. Does he do as much, though, as some others is probably the right way to put it. And so that was the decision there. The other thing that the other curious decision was not bringing Cole Caufield or Jason Robertson. One of the two of them, I thought, would be named to the team just from a goal scorer in Kyle Connor. I mean, you have a couple of others, but, you know, I'm thinking just like these natural instinctual goal scorers, and Robertson and Caufield both are shooters. They're different players. One's short, one's tall. You know, one is kind of jitterbuggy out there. The other kind of slides in and out. So, I mean, they're bringing more of what they call a full complete team. And it's very similar to Four Nations. It wasn't good enough to win. Close, but now will this team over a longer tournament, will having different style of players help them more? I think that's a big question that they had.
Yes, that is the question they had. And so for me, it was Robertson. He is the leading scorer for Americans in the National Hockey League. Now, on the other side of that, and so that's one argument for him. The argument against him is the fact that a lot of those points are power play. He's got 28. He's got 20 power play points and only 28 even strength points. So it's going to be an even strength tournament for the most part. So it's interesting though. That's the big one for me. And to bring back, you know, the Trocheks, the JT Millers, those guys haven't played anywhere near the level of Jason Robertson. Not even close. So you're picking style over production at this point. So they went off the board a little bit more than Team Canada did, and that doesn't surprise me knowing Billy Guerin, but there's also holes of criticism there as well.
Yeah, which Billy G doesn't care about.
He doesn't care about. He'll go off the board. He'll do whatever. He is not political. Right. In that one.
Real quick, what do you think of Team Canada? I mean, it's a scary looking team potentially.
It's so good.
Yeah, no Morgan Geeky. No. Obviously considered for it and rightfully so. We already talked about that on a couple of brews. But I mean, you couldn't not take Macklin Celebrini. He was in auto. I don't even think there wasn't even a conversation per se.
No,
you know,
I don't think so.
Celebrini's in at 19. He's that good. It is unbelievable. But otherwise, I mean, nothing from the team. I guess the biggest question mark on that team.
Straight goaltending.
Straight
right? goaltending. Yeah.
Right. And do they have a starter out of those three guys? You know, Bennington's back. Mm-hmm. They bring in Logan Thompson, and then they bring in Darcy Kuemper. So two of the three goalies are different than what they had at Four Nations.
Yeah, and the one that was rock solid that won them is pretty bad right now in the NHL. Yeah. So no, that's that and that one. I don't think it you're questioning him being on the team because of, again, what he's done and how he's won and the whole thing. But now the question is it's going to be, can't be answered until after the first game of what this looks like in goal for Canada.
Going to be very curious to see again, who starts, but we have a long way to go.
The master psychologist out there for that position and how he's going to use those guys and build them up.
Right. Does that end up being like if you don't start Bennington?
I know. Well, that's the whole thing.
Does he get pissed off? Does the team question? I mean, I don't know, but it's going to be very interesting. All right. Needed to jump on the Olympics. Again, the Olympics, folks, mid-February. Milano, Italy, going to be fun, assuming the rinks are all good. I'm going to guess we haven't heard much about it the last few weeks.
No.
So I'm going to assume that they're – somehow there might be a little paper mache around there. They'll get it done somehow, some way. All right, back to Bruins. 41 games into this season, 21-18-2 record, 44 points. Last year at this time, 27-4, very similar. Goals for
same
goals
amount of points.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Adam had that the other night. Pellerin had it.
So just one more victory this year. Different overtime situation, two more games last year. The goals for, goals against this year, 130-134. Last year, 107-126. So defensively, offensively, significantly different. Mm-hmm. Defensively, not so much. Power play, 30-121 this year. Last year at this time, 17-134. So fewer power play chances, more power play goals. Great stuff. We've applauded Steve Spott and the crew for being much better in that area. Penalty kill this year, 31-157. Last year, 31-130. Huh. So, but it's the amount of times that we've talked about it just way too often already. Now, again, even against Edmonton, five times shorthanded. You got to keep it to three per game. One per period is the tolerable level.
Well, and again, the ones in Edmonton were in the neutral zone and the offensive zone again. It was crazy. It was like, I can't believe they're getting away with this. They dodged bullets on that one because, again, a few of those penalties weren't very good.
They're going to have an old-fashioned Herb Brooks.
Yeah.
Type moment of bag skating if they keep this up. Just do the old again. Everybody who played hockey at some level, and I know bag skates aren't in vogue anymore. I still think they have value once or twice a year. I do. Whether you're a 10-year-old kid or a 22-year-old or a 30-year-old pro, I think there's some value to it because you're going through it in your head and you're like, oh crap, we got to do this. It gets messages through. Bruins have got to stop with it. It's just it's obviously just too much. But so this year to last year, now last year at this time, going back in the memory bank, you know, you said, okay, not bad. Now they've gone through the coaching change. What can they do? We know they didn't come out of the break great, but like maybe this is just recency bias, but this year does feel different to me. I mean, bad penalties aside, right? It feels different, but maybe it's because I still feel that this team is in a You know, last year, I don't think we knew where they were going, what was going to happen. I still think now I know that they're in a retool phase with this team. And yes, I've seen some positives. Jonathan Aspro, a Frazier Minton, obviously Geeky still scoring, all that stuff. But I still feel like there's a hell of a lot more growth to come. And I do feel like there's more of a future, just given we know their prospect pool is a little bit better, if not a lot better, given Hagans, Letourneau, and Zellers, just to name three. And there's more from that group.
I was surprised the numbers were the same, because it feels, like you just said, it feels much different for me.
Things didn't change yet last year, remember?
The drop-off was in February. They were still in the playoffs in February last year. They had the final playoff spot before they played the New York Islanders on February 6th or whatever that was, right before Four Nations.
Yep.
And they blew that lead. They had the lead in that game. They had the 2-goal lead. They blew the lead, and then that was basically it. That was their season after everything that happened. But again, it just last season felt so chaotic, and with the coaching change. But at this point, it was after Christmas where they swooned as well, right? They had that trip after in Columbus, and they had some bad performances. But it feels different, and I'm not sure that, unfortunately, or the difference as well is the East is much stronger this year than it was last year, the Eastern Conference. When we're talking about playoffs and standings, last season was down for the Eastern. There was no Philly. Philly wasn't in the mix. Montreal wasn't in the mix at this point. The Rangers were in the mix. So it was different. The Leafs were much better. All in all, I think we all have a better feel. You essentially said that. The numbers sound basically the same. The power play is much, much better. But everything else is basically the same. But it's a better feel. So, I don't know. For whatever the mojo is for the second half, it should be much better than it was last year.
Again, recency bias is you're coming off a win, too, over Edmonton. Let's not forget.
No, I would have said that, though. In general, if the numbers were the numbers and they were the same, I would have said that the team, even if they lost against Edmonton, I would say it feels the same or feels much better.
I also think, you know, you come into this year, the expectations were lower than last year. So you're right. Okay, we're surprised at certain things. And, you know, maybe, you know, things are finding its level, perhaps. You know, where does this team end up rhetorically?
The other thing that I'll add is Swayman's play is night and day.
That is much better.
Was really struggling.
Much better. Good. Yes. So last year, never did he even have a good run, even for a few games last year.
I don't think so.
No. Then
definitely not the November that he, you know, definitely not the month that he had. So
yeah. All right. Well, so I mean, and there are some positives for this team. I go back to Frazier Minton. You know, I like the pairing with David Pastrnak. I think that there's some kind of youthfulness that the youthfulness perhaps of 93 of Minton that I think David kind of gets a kick out of. I just watching him with that, you know, I think that there's a kind of a leadership mentorship type role almost that David's playing. And obviously the antenna of Frazier Minton is up whenever he's playing with a star like that and the opportunity. You know, the Husnadinov on the wing, it eventually, I think if that becomes your regular line, I think you find somebody else. Husnadinov's doing his best, his part right there, but could just be something. I like them together. You see the production out of them when they're together. It's not always perfect, but I think that there's maybe something to build off, or at least something to keep trying. Would you agree?
Yeah, as long as David's happy with doing it, so that just says a lot, because he gets to play with whoever he wants to. So that's the big takeaway, and the reps that Frazier's going to get, and watching a superstar up close and personal, and learning his patterns and where he goes on the ice and how he looks at the game. Is only going to benefit him, only going to make him a better player, especially offensively. Because again, we've talked so often, his details and his defensive mind is very, very good and very responsible. So now if David could free him up a little offensively, then you're really getting something.
Yeah. You could see perhaps a little bit higher ceiling offensively than Correct. we I don't want to say thought, because I didn't have any preconceived notion, but everything that you hear, heard, read, you know, suits perfectly as a three slot. Could you get him to a two? That was the question mark.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. You know, Charlie Coyle or Pavel Zacha, as you know, as what we've had recently. And that's what you're hoping.
You know, Bruins next game is tonight against the Vancouver Canucks. A late start, 9-3 on Nesson, 10 o'clock game on Nesson as well, heading into Van. Nice that the team has an extra day off in the beautiful city of Vancouver. But can this be the game raiser where, you know, we talked about the two goals, one assist from Pastrnak, or mention it against Edmonton, but where Morgan Geekie gets going again, just two assists in his last five, only eight shots on goal in that time. He is still tied for second as we sit and do this show at the NHL 25 goals. His previous five games before the last five, again, were just two assists, three goals, four assists, 7 points, but still only 10 shots on goal. He is, again, he is scoring at a clip that he's got like the highest shot percentage, I think, of anybody in the top 20 goal producers in the NHL. So, you know, is this, I mean, is two assists in five games a slump for him? Or is this just kind of like, hey, this kind of thing is going to happen? And do we need to see something different out of him heading into this game or into the next couple of games?
I don't think it's not the end of the world. Five games isn't the end of the world. I think what you're seeing is he's getting taken away on the power play now. You know, like it was, everyone focused on David, taking David away, and Geeky would get open. And it took a whole year almost for the league to catch up that, okay, we actually do have to cover this Geeky guy. Like, he actually does score. Like, this isn't a fluke. And I think you're seeing more of that. And then, you know, he has to shoot more. Like, we haven't seen him come down the wing and shoot it. We've seen him turn down shots, I should say. He's been looking to play make a little bit more, and he probably should just get a little selfish here and try and get back into the three or four shot. He's not going to, he isn't a nine shot guy because he doesn't create that much on his own, you know, like a McDavid or even a David some nights where he just decides he's just going to go. Geeky needs to get into his places a little bit more, but he's been turning shots down. And I think he needs to get back to putting things on net.
Yeah. You wonder why a guy like that, who went through such a great scoring run, would turn down shots. But I think, again, it just goes to prove that they're human. I mean, that's what it comes down to, is that these guys sometimes go through moments of, they might not even be able to answer, why am I doing that? Haven't had a chance because they're on the road to sit down and catch up with Morgan and ask him just about certain things. You know, talking about Team Canada, by the way, Bo Horvat got injured just the other day. I don't know the status. If it's come out, forgive me. I haven't seen it, but it looked like a knee injury. I don't know if Morgan Geeky's the next one up, but could he still be considered? I think he absolutely has to be considered for Team Canada, given his performance. And, you know, maybe this is the kind of thing that it's maybe small, but also pretty, how's this for contradictory? Pretty damn big too. You know, maybe that inspires something too, to know that there's still an opportunity to make that team.
No, there's no question he's going to want to have a great January to stay in the mix, because whenever that decision comes down on February 2 with whoever's injured, and especially if it's a scorer, a guy who puts the puck in the net, you have to imagine Morgan Geeky's in the pod of players that is eligible for the scoring job of whatever Team Canada player goes down. So huge, that, you know, though, no reason for him not to think that this is the Olympic dreams completely over, and just to shut January down. That, I don't think that's going through his head.
Just to bring up some numbers for context, just to, you know, tell you about, I told you about his shooting percentage. He's at 25.5%. Again, of all players in the top 20 in the NHL with the goal scores, he's the highest. Just for context, Crosby has 23. He's at 24.2%. And Matt Boldy, who has really had another good year, the kid, the Mass kid, the former Boston Junior Eagle, this kid, he's at 18.5% at his 25 goals. So just to give, again, some context where other guys around him are there and who shoots more, who doesn't shoot more. All right. still, well, need to get to John Hanaspro, and also want to talk about the Vancouver game, because here you're going against a team, we, as we said, heading into this trip, Razor, a lot of winnable games, and Vancouver's, where are they, an interesting team? There is so much going on out there. Adam Foote leading the way as head coach for the Vancouver Canucks. You know, want to talk about the pairing of Aspro and Lindholm, and also want to talk about what we expect to see or hope to see come the game on at night against the Vancouver Canucks. Again, pregame at 9, game time at 10. Everything is on Nesson. So we'll get to that coming up after the break. And also, we need to do our Apex most entertaining moment of the past week. So we will do that coming out of the break. So let's make sure that your not so talented host remembers to do that. That's why I brought it up right here. All right. You're listening to Saturday Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
All right, and welcome back in. Saturday Brew here with Jaffe and Razor. Let's get right to it. Apex brings you the most entertaining moment of the week. Visit Apex Entertainment in Marlboro, 100,000 square feet of fun. There was a lot of entertaining moments in that Edmonton game. I'm just going to assume, my friend, knowing you as well as I do, that we are going to take something from that game. Because the other two games, again, you go back to Calgary, not so entertaining of a game in general, in Buffalo, just not a fun result. So let's give us our Apex most entertaining moment of the week.
Oh, yeah. Staying away from that Calgary game. That was hard for us to watch, despite the Bruins feeling okay about it. It has to be for me. I went through, the goals were okay. You know, David Banks hit off the back, and then Mittelstadt has a nice shot, and Hampus has a nice shot. But the most entertaining goal for me was Jonathan Aspro's jumping into the rush, killing the 3-on-2, getting his feet going, falling into the net to score his second of the season. So Jonathan Aspro's, the Bruins' fourth goal, pulled them ahead. That was, for me, the most exciting part of the game against Edmonton.
You could tell again how happy the guys were when it got that score. Yeah. He comes up there, and it's a, as you said, it's a bit of a bumper car type golf. Everybody crashing around the crease. Pasta was thinking pass when he brought it over from that right to the left side, and then it works out, and Aspro does finish it. Huge game for him. He just continues to develop the persona that is Jonathan Aspro to the Bruins. I'm not going to say legend yet, but you know what I mean.
15-5-1
15-5-1 pretty damn good. But, you know, again, and I know we talked about it a little bit, but it's working because of his simplicity. Mm-hmm. That's what it comes down to. It's, you know, he doesn't try to overextend his style of play, be something that he's not. It's amazing how comfortable he is in his own hockey being, right? Yeah. I mean, that's what it's a great lesson. Are we at the point, do you just wait to play this thing out, or do you try and sign this guy to a 2-year extension right now? Are we at that point already?
You have to be. You have to be at least talking about it or figuring out, and both as a player as well. Like if I'm Jonathan Aspro, I'd like to put this in the can as well. As well as I'm playing, it's a little security for the first time in my life. It'd be good. So I'd be curious. Something has to. They must be chatting. I think Don's pretty busy with Team Canada and everything else, and the Bruins and all the things. But this probably has to come up over the next few weeks again to figure it out.
I would imagine that this could be something. Yeah, I was thinking about this. Why not do it right, like before the Olympic break?
Correct. Yeah, that's more of the timing. Not really right now, but
right.
Like at the
get
end
off
of,
the road, get back, do everything. You know, you've correct. Got some all that stuff, and then right then, and that gives the kid. Maybe he bumps up his vacation. You
that's
know,
right. Four seasons.
It goes from the two or the three to the four seasons.
That's right.
on the budget. Speaking of being in a nice place and stuff to do, I was thinking about this. You've played there both as a local and as a visitor many times in Vancouver. It really is a breathtakingly beautiful city.
Yeah,
the mountains and everything and fun. What would you do if you had, you know, the Bruins with some time off there? Just got me thinking. What would a Razor day off, assuming the weather's good, what would it look like in Van? And,
yeah, this,
you know, what would you do?
It's pretty easy actually for me. If it was a full day off, I would get up and get a car to take me, myself, and a couple of the other guys up to Whistler. About an hour and a half, two-hour drive. The most beautiful drive you could ever take. You enjoy that. Get up to Whistler, hang out in the village, grab a coffee, have lunch, hang out. Maybe stay all the way to dinner, but you could kick out before dinner and then head back into the city for a sushi meal. Everyone's going to talk about how good the sushi is.
It
really is good out there. There's a bunch of great places. So that would be, for me though, walking around Whistler is as good as anything you can do if you have a whole day off.
Yeah. And all my time having spent in Van, and when I say all, it's decent amount, not huge off time, but I haven't been to Whistler. That's the one thing I haven't done. I've done the beaches, you know, you walk in there, the long city walk.
I mean, Stanley Park's awesome, right? Like that, that would be, if you had a practice day, you would walk Stanley Park.
Right. For sure. Not just, I actually, besides the sushi being phenomenal and the place that everybody used to go, not fancy, but very formidable, was Miko Sushi. But I don't even know, I haven't been there in years. I don't know if that's still, that was my lunch spot every time, at least one time. I put down 25 Canadian. Oh my God. And I would eat like an absolute, like two full salmons, you know, on its own. It was phenomenal. I don't know. I'm sure there's fancier, but the sushi's phenomenal. But the other thing, like, I think it's a better coffee town than Seattle.
It is a coffee town. Yeah.
I know it's similar and everything, but you have so much coffee everywhere.
You need it
there
this time of year. If it gets a little gloomy, you need it.
Well, it's a great place to have a day off. The Bruins are also going to have a full day in Seattle, which will be, well, we'll see. Let's see how they play in Van tonight.
What's interesting, that these two games, they get both teams on the second night of back-to-backs.
Yeah,
which, that's a good point. Like, this schedule really benefits the Bruins to finish off and have ended up having a good road trip.
Winnable games. Both these are. Now, I will say that you've seen split personalities from both these teams, though, right? What are you going to get? You know, what happens? Who's going to be in the lineup for Van? That's been, first of all, very tumultuous at times. You know, Jake DeBrus scratched and then he's coming back. He handles it okay. The whole Elias Pettersson drama continues there, even though there's, you know, none of his archenemies are no longer there. Who's going to be in goal? Remember, Kevin Lankinen ended up playing against the Bees last time these two teams faced each other in Boston, and he was really good when he hadn't been. So what will happen there? So you said back-to-back, so it'll be interesting to see how they play their goaltenders. And then you have a day off, full day off in Seattle, and then you get a Seattle team that is still in it as well. I know I've seen them a few times, not many this year, but a few times, and I'm like, they're nothing. And then all of a sudden I see they've won three in a row, four in a row. I can't totally figure it out. All right. Great stuff here on this Saturday morning, Brew, with Jaffe and Rachel. Let's see if the Bruins can, if they can make it two more on the road before coming home, that would be gigantic. It would be really good. They're going to get some players back healthy soon as well. A couple of more, perhaps at least one more on the back end. All good stuff, Razor. I look forward to seeing you later tonight. We will get after it at Nesson, and I think only a half an hour post game show tonight. I think we're saved there. So, and you got me thinking sushi. It might be a sushi night. All right, everybody have a wonderful rest of your day. The Boston Bruins look to get it back again. Check out 9 o'clock pregame on Nesson as they get set to take on the Vancouver Canucks. This is Saturday Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.